Very recently, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Father Don Sanvito of the Hamilton Diocese, and he began talking about the influence that three teachers in particular were having on the school, the Catholic elementary school that is located right next to his parish. Now, what he said was very inspiring, so much so that I told him to remember what he said and how he said it, because what I will do is drive up the following week and record him telling you just what he told me. What follows is that interview, which I did today, this morning. Now, my friend is a smoker, and at one point he lights up a cigarette. Now, you'll know when that happens. And so with that, I present to you Father Don Sanvito on the influence that a few good Catholic teachers can have on an entire school.
Okay. Father Don Sanvito from Erin, Ontario, small town. Half an hour east of Guelph, and I've been a priest for 44 years now, and I regularly visit schools. I always have, and I enjoy visiting schools. I enjoy doing school masses, I enjoy confessions, I enjoy visiting classes a great deal. I'm not a big fan of visiting the kindergartens. I visit them, the real little ones. And it's a little bit difficult now and then, the grade eights for sure, but the in-between ones are filled with questions and they've got a lot of zeal and desire to know. They always love to talk about God. And in the past, I've been disappointed in a lot of teachers throughout the years, just like I've been disappointed in a lot of Catholics, in priests, in myself even. And when I see that they don't really have any fervor, and it shows. I go into the classroom and I might say, what are you talking about in religion? And it's just basically the latest new environmental thing, the green forests or the deserts or the climate and so on and so forth. But it kind of reveals to me, and you find this out not just in one visit, but over a period of time, you talk to the teacher that, you know, they're not praying, they're not going to Mass, and you wonder, should we even keep Catholic schools? That thought has entered into my mind. I don't see a love for God, and in some cases anyway, and then you don't see a zeal for the faith, and when you come in, the teacher buries their head in a book while you're talking to the students as if they're not interested, sends a message right away to the kids that he's not interested, she's not interested, why should I be? But that a particularly good experience this year, really the last year and a half, where we've had three male teachers. We've got some good female teachers next door in the school. The three male teachers, and they're big, burly guys, every one of them. And they speak with a big voice, and they've got a real physical presence, which is something I really like in the school. The thing I really like about them is one of them came to me and he said, Father, I got an idea. I said, another one of the teacher's ideas, yeah. How about you come over and talk about the environment, something that's really going to thrill me? And they said, we'd like to build a statue of Our Lady. We got the kids to do it. I thought, hey, that's great. So next thing you know, I thought, well, they probably won't do it. They did it. Students, the teacher, they build a beautiful grotto on the property of the church. And is it just sort of a grotto that sits there? No. Teachers bringing over kids or praying the rosary. It's beautiful when it's summer or the warmer spring weather comes. Roadside in a circle, people from the street see the teacher, the students, kids praying the rosary. We've got a rosary group now. Kids coming over on Friday at noon, praying the rosary together. Where did this come from? I haven't seen it in a lot of places. The zeal of a teacher. And our combined zeal is really having a great effect on the students, and their love for God and their ability to talk about God. I go into the classes and, I'd say, what's the good news? And sometimes, you know, you'd have to be nice, and it would just hurt the living crap out of me. To be nice. I'm so sick of it. It's fine to be nice. But they'd say, the good news, I'd talk to them, they'd say, the good news is Jesus died for our sins, and he rose. And I'm thinking, where's this coming from? It's coming from a teacher who's teaching them religion, teaching them the faith, and not only teaching them, but modeling, witnessing to them, bringing them over to the church for adoration. You know, the other day I had adoration. In the adult community, very few people come. And I went to the principal, who's also a very good practicing Catholic. He said, Father, today we have 160 kids come for adoration. I said, fantastic, unbelievable. And the presence of these teachers have enlivened the other teachers as well. They seem to be more enthused about the masses when we have school masses. We had a mass the other day, and I commented to the whole staff and the students were at mass, and their parents, some of them were there. I said, look, this was absolutely beautiful. They came in quietly. They genuflected, not perfectly, but of course quietly. There was no noise, unnecessary shuffling. The kids participated. They're answering the prayers. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. And I'm saying things are improving. Not only are they are improving noticeably, and they're improving quickly. Why? And I said, it's because of the teachers in the school that care about handing on the faith to the kids entrusted, you know, to their care. And it's created a wonderful environment in the school. It's not perfect. Kids still are kids. Students are students. But even among the grade eights, usually grade eights are very quiet, and I'm noticing grade eight kids coming up to me. When are you coming to the class, Father? We didn't see you. Sometimes I hesitate going to the grade eight class because they're bored, they're consumed with 13-year-old problems. But now they're saying, yeah, we want to talk about this, we want to talk about that. It just seems to have caught fire in this school. Now, it's a school of about 250 students, and I don't know what, however number of teachers, 12, 14 teachers and other assistants, but there's a new spirit in the school. And I would say the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the active presence of God living in the school where people love to talk about their faith. It's increasing anyway. They thank me after Mass. That's another thing, Doug, I was saying the other day. I don't remember in a long time where kids, after Mass is over, coming out of the school, out of the church, saying, thanks for Mass, Father. Thanks, good Mass, Father, good Mass. I said, every Mass is good. They say, thanks for Mass. I thought, when's the last time? I would like to ask a lot of teachers in different schools, do you ever hear your kids say, thanks, Father, for Mass today? Or kids coming up to me and saying, can I have a rosary to join a rosary club? I make sure they get a rosary. And is it affecting the home? Now, this is an interesting thing. I'd say yes. We've lost a lot of parishioners lately, primarily because when they get really old, they move out of town and find an apartment in Guelph because they can't drive anymore. There's no bus service, no taxi service. So we're losing older people. But the church is noticeably filled up with young people now, which makes the collection suffer, to tell you the truth, you know. They don't have the money at their disposal like the others, and I'm not a money-oriented priest, but we got to pay the bills, you know. So we're losing on the money end, but in the long run we'll benefit, of course, just to have the young people in the church. The children's liturgy program, the numbers have gone up on Sunday. So I think this is the effect. The school, the teachers are affecting the students. The students are going home and probably saying to mom and dad, can we go to Mass on Sunday? They must be talking to them. Because every now and then I see a family, I don't remember speaking to them, but they're there. And I think it's because their son or daughter is saying, Mom, we should be going to Mass. We're talking. The parents are hearing about it. and it's sort of jolting them a little bit and making them think, you know. And it's more joyful and it's a happier environment than some of the places I've been. Some of the schools I've been to throughout the years, I've experienced situations where one or two teachers on the staff feel isolated. And they complain, they say, Father, no one really cares here in this staff. And they're downhearted. And you notice, you start to notice that this is no different, probably, than a public school. Not much. It is different. The opportunity is still there, but the spirit is not there. I've seen situations like that, and it's not enjoyable to go into the school, but when you see people alive with the faith, they make a Catholic school, they help to make a Catholic school an institution that's consecrated to the Lord, you know? And you just see the difference, and it now becomes a joy when you go to the school. You feel like a father, even when the kids say, hi, father. You really get the impression that they're not just saying this because it's my title, but that the priest is a spiritual father. They think, you know, he's my spiritual. He's the one who teaches me about God. He's the one who brings me God. He brings me the Holy Communion, the Eucharist. He brings me the forgiveness of God. He is my father. They're now starting to see, through the example of good Christian, good Catholic teachers, that they have a relationship with God. And that's the most important thing. They begin to think that way. They begin to express themselves that way. They start to demonstrate it in their own life. In short, you see the presence of the Holy Spirit there. So I would say the Catholic teachers that we've been so lucky to have, number one, I hope they stay for as long as I'm here, that's for sure. And I hope they light a flame under the butt of other teachers, get them moving a little bit in that direction. And I see the value and the fruits, really, of just good teachers living the faith, loving the faith, not being afraid to witness to the faith, and doing things from the church. The other thing, Doug, the other day, I went over to one of the teachers, and I said to him, this is the spirit in the school. I said, you know, we did a survey, and people want to have an outdoor crib. I'm just going to light this cigarette, eh? And, of course, I hand out cigarettes to all the kids after. I don't...
I don't hand out cigarettes to the kids. I'm the only one that smokes, and I don't smoke in front of them. This is part cold, too. So, word got out. Father wants an outdoor crib scene. So Mr. Curtin comes up to me and said, Father, I heard you want an outdoor crib scene for next Christmas, you know, to have one on the street so people can see it. He said, I'm looking after it, if that's okay with you. I'd like to build it with the help of students. So he's gathered a number of students together that are skilled in designing things, and he's going to be building me a big outdoor creche scene. And he just, you know, I didn't have to go and beg him. It just happened because he heard from someone that I was interested in. He picked up on it right away and said, let's do it, you know. So there's a connection now, eh? It's almost like if we love God together, we are really connected now. We are working in unison to build up the kingdom of God in this little part of God's kingdom, in the school environment, the church environment, the home environment. And we're connected to one another. Things start to fall into place. I'm thinking, why so easily? Because we're praying. We're talking to God. God is making the connection for us, you know. He's doing all this work behind the scenes. There's no two ways about it. It's the work of God, because we're being more open to God. If we shut ourselves off to God, he'll give us what we want, and that is kind of just an academic environment with no view of eternity, no view of the spiritual life, no love for God, or not a greater love for God, and it we're not drawn together. We're just divided. But we are really one in the Spirit, for sure. And when we are drawing closer to God, all the connections start falling into place. That's my experience, eh? Things are getting worked out behind the scenes. He's doing the work. We're just making ourselves available. So it's a good thing that I'm seeing. And the reason I'm talking about it is because of the impact that it makes. It just makes life happier and more joyful. And then you talk about a community. You know, people talk about community. Let's go and have a few drinks. That's fine. Let's go out and do this sporting game. Let's go to dances. Start praying together. The other things fall into place. You know, begins with our union with God together, and then everything else happens after. Amen.
So there you have it. What a good Catholic priest has to say about the influence that a few teachers are having on the entire school environment. And you can understand why I recorded this, as well as the two previous interviews I did earlier this year with Father Don. You know, we don't know how long he'll be around with us, given the condition of his lungs from all that smoking. However, you know, we really aren't too worried, because he should have been dead long ago, given his eating habits, smoking, driving here and there because he's so much in demand, falling asleep at the wheel because he's driven so much. He's only alive because God has worked many miracles in his life. He's kept him around because he does so much good wherever he is. So we know he's going to be around with us for a long time. But he also got talking about interviewing prospective teachers for a pastoral letter. So I thought I'd record that as well and share that with you at this time. Okay, Father Don, you interviews with teachers. That is part of your duty, to write them a pastoral letter. Can you maybe talk about your experience?
Sure. First of all, usually they're good, and I really enjoy meeting with the teacher. They're enthusiastic, and they're always a little bit nervous. And they're nervous because I'm giving them a reference. So they want to give me a good answer, something that sounds good, you know. And this is a very common experience, all too common, I'm afraid, but it's very, very common. And forgive me if I get a little bit, not vulgar, but crude, in my response here. But I'd read the statement from the school board, you know, and say, and they would have to write the answer. I'd review it and talk to them. And these are some of the examples. How will you contribute to the Catholic community as a teacher in a positive way? Well, I'm going to be inclusive, whatever that means. Everybody uses that word today, which is fine. I'm going to try to bring a very positive energy, you know, like electricity. Stick your finger in there and a positive energy, get a jolt, you know. I'm going to try to give the students great confidence in themselves, you know. I'm going to draw out lift their self-esteem, you know. All of these are fine things, but they'd go on and on with all this stuff, and then I'd stop them. And I'd say, you know, can I be honest with you, since we're in an interview? Because I'm going to give you a chance to rewrite some of these things, if you don't mind. And they're good. It's very intelligent. They're thought out. You're giving all the maybe answers that you feel someone would like to hear. But after listening to them, it just sounds to me like a lot of horseshit, to tell you the truth. They say, really? And I say, really? All these canned answers, this is not who you are. I want you to think of your upbringing, where you went to school, what you did in your home, your parish. And I'm saying, why do you want to be a Catholic teacher? How can you influence your students in a good way in the environment, the school environment you're going to be teaching in? Give me a real answer. Tell me something that's real, that's really at the heart of what we're really all about. Forget about all these canned things. They don't strike me. You know, I'm the one that's interviewing you, so I have to be honest with you. You know, you're a wonderful person. I can see that. You're filled with enthusiasm. And I also know you're a little bit nervous. So don't expect a lot. But now I want to give me something from your guts. Tell me the truth. What do you want to do in the Catholic school? Give me something that's real. And they'd stop, you know. They think, oh, all the other stuff is horseshit. Now what am I going to say? They'd stop and they'd think and they'd smile. They'd look embarrassed. They said, no, just tell me from the depth of your being. I'd like to teach them about Jesus. That's all you would have had to say to me in the first place to impress me. Just say you want to teach about the Lord, about what he's done for us and how we are to be grateful. And you don't have to worry about building up their self-esteem. When you teach them that they're made in God's image and likeness and God loves them, but we are sinners and we need the mercy of God, we go nowhere without his death on the cross and resurrection. That's the good news. See, all that stuff that you wrote, I've read, and honest to goodness, I have to tell you the truth, I wasn't impressed. But I also know why you're doing it, because you want to make a good impression. Forget about that. Just tell the truth. It's about the truth. And then you say, I want to teach them about Jesus. The only thing I didn't like about that answer is the way you communicated it to me. I want to teach them all about Jesus. Just say, I want to teach them all about the Lord, Father. That's all you would have had to say to me. And I would have said, for that, in my view, you gain an A+. So rethink this and put some of those thoughts down in your application. Now let's talk a little bit about how you're going to serve the Lord, okay? Let's get on to that. How will you do this? And it's amazing, Doug, when I get right to the heart, you say, well, go to Mass, beautiful. Tell me another reason. I'm going to pray for my students? Absolutely. Phenomenal. Whoever thinks of praying for their students anymore? Now you've just told me the real you, the deeper reason why, and you're so pre-programmed to sort of come up with all these other things that are okay, I guess, in some way, but really they're not the heart of the issue. But now you're telling me the heart. You want to teach about the Lord. You're going to pray for your students. You talked about going to Mass on Sunday. Give me some other reasons, you know. Then they come up, well, I want to tell them about how to love our neighbor. Absolutely. Phenomenal. Hey, part two of the golden rule. Give me some other, and they come up with these other reasons, you know. But so I'm glad, you know, and maybe they rethought them, but I'm thinking, why not just get to the fundamentals? And why not just say what we really want to be? Yeah, you want to be a good Catholic woman or male teacher, and you want to teach about the Lord. And when you do that, science comes alive. I'm going to tell you that right now. I see a science teacher teaching science who has the faith. That science lesson, though the facts maybe are the same, the science lesson comes out different from a person who believes than one who doesn't believe. It comes out different. Mathematics, different. They inject something. It's almost like saying, you're learning this because it's part of God's world, the way God made it to be. And you honor God by studying this world and by learning mathematics and science. But you'll always see it in the light of our eternal destiny somehow. And that's what this is all about. So you do that. So you take a few minutes, I would say to them, now rewrite some of those answers, okay? And let's review them. Second time around, really good.